Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFM.com, along with the Odyssey app. Mark Menard at Master Control taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. I'm Christian Garrick here with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Still talking about LSU baseball, their super regional performance against Tennessee. They were ousted yesterday 15-6. I think, was there 9 home runs total hit yesterday between the two teams?
10.
10. There were 10 home runs between the two teams. I mean, the ball played like a little league field. The park played like a little league field. I mean, it just jumped off of bats. Dylan Cruz had 2 home runs in his first 2 at bats for LSU, but Tennessee was just raking yesterday. 15-6, LSU loses to Tennessee. And, you know, some of these, some fans were a little put out by Tennessee's fans based on their behavior. And I don't know that I would be upset by it, but I didn't experience it. If you were in Knoxville, and give me an example as to, you know, how you were treated up there. I do think that LSU baseball fans, they recognize how to treat other visiting fans, even within the SEC. And in Knoxville, they haven't had success in college baseball in a long time. So this is all new. Whenever something's new, it's, you know, you're fanatical. And that's what happened in Tennessee. And I don't really care. I mean, ultimately, you know, when you go to a road venue, and that's what happens. You run the risk of potentially being treated poorly. Mark Menard at Master Control, what you got?
Let me just pose this question to you. Let's say going into the game, if I told you, look, LSU's going to put Landon Marceau on the mound, Dylan Cruz is going to hit 2 home runs, and I'm going to score 6 total, what would you have said?
I said that's not enough when you go back and look at Tennessee and the way they played in the regional and all year long. I mean, they average over 6 runs a game. So I actually was surprised by game one outcome where they held them to just 4 runs, and that was not enough. I mean, that was enough for Tennessee and not enough for LSU. I thought the better question would be, Mark, is if you said LSU holds Tennessee to 4 runs, I'd have said, well, then they win, because they typically score 7, 8, 9 runs routinely. And they lived up to it yesterday.
So do you think, I mean, I know that you're tired of saying this, but do you think the fact that this was a young team was the biggest factor in, like, them not going a little farther than they went?
No. I think Tennessee's very, very good, and I think their bullpen failed them. I'm talking about LSU. And by this point, you're no longer a freshman. By this point in the year, you're no longer a freshman. So you cannot say, oh, it was a young team. You could say that in April. You can't say it now.
No, but you could say they don't have any playoff experience.
Yeah, yeah. And that, now, with that said, there is something to be said about the fact that you're putting freshmen in the ballgame. If you're going to question Paul Maneri's pitching decisions, that would be where you would question it. Young pitchers, freshmen, and I just said they're not freshmen anymore, but by classification, as you put it, Mark, no playoff experience, and you're putting them in big moments in a super regional with a trip to Omaha on the line. Now, the other part of that says, hey, he feels like they earned that right, then I'm fine with it. again, it's really easy to second guess pitching decisions when everybody in the world can see it didn't quite work out because the other team ended up winning. But they're short on praise when he makes the decision at the right time, when he pulls the guy at the right time, because it worked out because the other pitcher came in and did his job, got saves, got ate up some innings, etc. But I just think LSU simply ran out of gas. But on top of that, they weren't better than Tennessee. Not even close. Tennessee has beaten them five times this year. Five times. Hasn't happened since 1981. I think that's a credit to how good Tennessee is and how LSU just doesn't have the experience that you would need to pull off that upset that would have been an upset against Tennessee. All right, we'll step away and come back. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Got a text from a friend of mine. Hey, we were there. For the most part, the fans were very hospitable. You always have those few, but just like you said, winning is new to them, so not sure someone knew how to act with a little humility. Go Tigers. That's from a friend of mine, Rochelle. Hope you guys had a good experience. Hope you're either home safe or on your way back safe. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, back here on Sports Talk, we'll catch you up on the Super Regional games going on right now with Mark Menard. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, things just getting underway at Duty Noble Field in Starkville, and Mississippi State already down 1-0. Notre Dame, first or second batter up, went yard and knocked out a solo home run. So the Fighting Irish are up 1-0 over the Mississippi State Bulldogs, and the winner of this game will be the final entrant into the Omaha bracket for the College World Series. But the other seven teams that have already booked their tickets, you got four of the top five seeds. Obviously, the big story of the weekend, the Arkansas Razorbacks, the number one overall seed, getting bounced. But the other members of the top five are all in. The number two, Texas Longhorns. The number three, Tennessee Volunteers. The number four, Vanderbilt Commodores. And the number five, Arizona Wildcats. And then from there, you have the number nine, Stanford Cardinal. The number 17, it would have been the NC State Wolfpack. They were the two seed in that 16 seed bracket in Louisiana Tech. So NC State is in, and Virginia Cavaliers. So Christian, here are your matchups for your bracket so far in Omaha. You're going to have first round matchups with Stanford against NC State, Arizona against Vanderbilt, Tennessee against Virginia, and then Texas will get the winner of today's game between Mississippi State and Notre Dame. Who do you think, with Arkansas gone, who do you think is the odds-on favorite, and why is it Vanderbilt and that pitching staff?
Well, it is Vanderbilt, and I think it is Tennessee as well. Those okay. two.
I was
those
being snarky teams. There, but I do want your opinion.
Yeah, well, first off, it's Vanderbilt. They're trying to be technically back-to-back national champions. I think that Tennessee team is just dangerous, though. And they can match Vanderbilt on the back end of their bullpen. Not necessarily with Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker on the bump as starters, but that offense is pretty gross of Tennessee. We got a taste of that yesterday in 15-6, the loss by the LSU Tigers. So of those currently in the College World Series, that have punched their ticket, I think Texas is certainly a candidate as well. I'm not going to disrespect Joe and Mandeville.
I was going to say Texas is the highest remaining seed now at number two.
They are. There's something about Vanderbilt that they've experienced it before. My concern, if I'm a Tennessee fan, this is where a young coach making his first trip to Omaha and Tony Vitello, this is where you can kind of potentially have a disappointment, because there's a lot of things that go on that the average fan doesn't see at Omaha for these players and these coaches. They're pulled in different directions, and that's not the case in Tennessee. What I mean by that is there's not a whole lot of media covering that baseball program. Opposed to LSU, Texas, those players are used to having that media demand throughout the regular season. Vanderbilt as well. So you get my point here is that if they're, Tennessee might be fall victim because their head coach is new to it. And I'm big on experience. Big on experience in Omaha, and you talk about Tim. We talked about Tim Corbin's experience there in Omaha, and I think that plays a big advantage towards Vanderbilt. But there's also this idea with Tennessee where you go, hey, they don't know any better. There's a lot of fervor surrounding their fan base right now. They're probably going to travel well. It's the most success Tennessee baseball has had in a long, long time, and they've got some special players on offense. There's just no let up in that offense. There's not 1 through 9. There's an out here or there's an out there. Opposed to at LSU, Alex Milazzo, the catcher, was in because he's a great defensive catcher, but the guy can't hit. He just can't hit. And there was always an out that you could look at and say, yep, he's not going to do anything. So Tennessee doesn't have that. Vanderbilt doesn't have that as well. Vanderbilt's got the advantage pitching. But look, so does Texas with Madden on the bump. I mean, so those are the three that I would say are, and it sounds like I'm not, you know, zeroing in on one particular team, and I'm kind of trying to stay away from a prediction, but those are the three that I would say are the contenders.
Let me ask you this. So if the bracket plays out with the higher seeds winning, we would get a second-round matchup of Texas and Tennessee.
Phew.
Who do you think comes out of that? Because remember, they'd play one game against the first round, then they'd have their essentially day two starters going against each other here in the second round. Who do you think comes out on the upper end of that?
Flip a coin. I mean, seriously, flip a coin. Tell me how many home runs Tennessee hits. TD Ameritrade Park is not a big park. I mean, it's not a small park. It's a big park. Here's the thing. They won't hit a lot of home runs up there, and I've seen big hitting teams that do hit a lot of home runs, go up there, and a lot of these balls turn into long fly ball outs. But they can hit the gaps well, and if you hit the gap at TD America Park, those are no longer doubles. Those are more triples. It's a cavernous ballpark that pitchers love. It's a very pitcher friendly. That's another factor why I would say Vanderbilt is going to have an advantage, because they got two stud pitchers, but also they've got guys out of the bullpen that, you know, they don't give up a whole lot of home runs, and they won't give up a lot in this bigger ballpark either. Tennessee's got a fine pitching staff, so does Texas, but I think that, you know, that bigger park, it'll be interesting to see how Tennessee handles that bigger park at the plate, because those home runs that were, you know, 315, 320, they're going to be fly ball outs because it's 335 down the lines in TD Ameritrade Park, and that's a big difference.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, so you just tell me right off the bat, have you done much of a deep dive on the other non-SEC teams that we know are in?
Not yet.
Because the team I want to ask you about, Vanderbilt draws Arizona in the first round. Do you know a lot about the Wildcats yet, or are you still got to do
your homework? I don't yet, but I can tell you that, just a couple of years ago, when did LSU play Arizona recently? For some reason, I want to say they were in the regional of LSU in 2019 when the Tigers lost to Florida State in the Super Regional. And they've always, that's true. I want to say 2 years ago, they had a young team that were very talented, and they could absolutely rake. If a lot of those players are still on that roster, then that makes Arizona a pretty formidable opponent as well. And they've done it all year long. They've put it together out there.
Christian,
I don't
know detail by detail for
Arizona, but based on memory, and that program, that school has a history, has a pretty good history in college baseball.
You can notch one on your belt for the memory banks on that one, because it was LSU, Arizona, Southern Miss, and Stony Brook in that regional. Arizona was a two seed.
Yeah, I remember talking to the Arizona head coach on Sports Talk. So, yeah, I mean, that's a program that's traditionally in it, and I think this year, when I say in it, I'm talking about in the NCAA baseball tournament, and this year they obviously have a much better squad. But that year, that experience 2 years ago, I think bode well for the Wildcats, for Arizona.
Unfortunately, they have to go up against either Rocker or Leiter in their first game in Omaha, and that's gonna be a tall task.
It is, but look, right now, if you're in a field of eight, every team in that field can win it. Every team. And oh, by the way, those Arizona players, I'm sure those hitters are going to go, yeah, Jack Leiter and Rock Kumar Kumar Rocker are great players, and they're probably going to go 1 and 2 in the MLB draft. But guess what? They're human just like those other the Arizona hitters are. Now, what I'm kind of contradicting myself because I just said how TD Ameritrade plays so big, and that's a big advantage for those two guys who, you know, really pitch well in any ballpark and don't get touched up very much at all in any ballpark. So, yeah, I just, again, I'm with Vanderbilt. I'm kind of with Tennessee, Texas. I still think those are the top three programs in this tournament, and all three of those have a chance to win it. But we've seen teams get upset. I mean, look at Arkansas right now. They're going home. Arkansas got upset as the number one seed. And, oh, by the way, we should have seen it coming because Nebraska had them against the ropes in the regional championship game, and Arkansas hits a grand slam, pulls way ahead, advances to the super regional. But baseball is a weird sport, man. It's a strange game, in particular in college baseball where the playing field is so level. I've talked about it, and LSU fans don't like hearing it, but it's very, very level in college baseball. That's why you're seeing the likes of Coastal Carolina, Stony Brook, and others. Look at Dallas Baptist. I mean, they were one game away, Mark, from punching their first ever trip to Omaha.
And they lost two straight.
Yeah, and so, you know, that just goes to show you, man, things can get weird at college baseball. You know, just because you're the number one seed or the number two seed, or you're Arizona or you're Stanford, who is a 9 seed, all those teams can win it.
I'm gonna give you some numbers on Stanford right now. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You want to talk about a team that's raking it? So in the regionals, they played, you know, in the three games they won, they scored 9 runs, 12 runs, and 11 runs. Then in the super regionals, let me come down here to the super regionals, and they scored 15 runs and 9 runs. So they're cranking it right now at the plate for Stanford, and I think that might be a dark horse to watch. You know, they get NC State in the first round, who are also playing pretty well right now. And then they would draw, if they would move on, they'd probably draw a second round matchup against Vanderbilt, and seeing how their offense is playing against what would be the, you know, the day two starter for Vanderbilt, that could be an interesting matchup as well.
Who'd they put up all those runs against in the regional and super regional?
Super regional, they beat Texas Tech. They swept them in 2 straight mm-hmm. games. And that one, Texas Tech was the 8 seed, so they were a top 8 national seed. In the regional, Stanford hosted. They beat North Dakota State 9-1. They beat UC Irvine 12-4. They did lose a game to UC Irvine 8-4, but then came back and won the championship game against UC Irvine 11-8. So they beat UC Irvine offense, 2 out of 3 times.
Yeah, their offense has gotten hot, but I mean this is with respect to what they've done in Stanford. But have they faced pitching staffs like they're going to face potentially in Vanderbilt? And the answer is no, because no team in the country has faced that kind of staff. And look, at this level in college baseball, and especially in these elimination-type tournaments, and it is double elimination, by the way, in the World Series at the highest levels of college baseball, great pitching usually beats great hitting. I mean, Tennessee proved it yesterday. Their hitting was better than LSU's pitching. And they pitched better than LSU hit. They had it all going for them. So...
Well, here's the thing for Stanford, though. So let's say they beat NC State in the first round, and they draw Vanderbilt. They lose to Vanderbilt because they go up against either Leiter or Rocker. It's only one loss, and if they're still hitting well, they can come up through the loser's bracket. And if they play Vanderbilt again, they're not going to draw Leiter or Rocker. They're going to draw, you know, somebody else probably, and that might be their path.
It's hard to come out of the loser's bracket. It can be done. I mean, you really tax your pitching at that point in this format. And I don't know Stanford's up and down, their staff, their rotation, et cetera. So I don't know how deep they are pitching-wise. But, I mean, it's a good point. You won't see Leiter or Rocker in all likelihood if you should go into the loser's bracket if you're Stanford. But it's still a daunting task. It just is. I'm pulling for Stanford of the non-SEC schools so far that are in it because Stanford has a great tradition of great baseball.
I'm just looking at the 4 teams that they're coupled with there.
Yeah.
If they lose to Vanderbilt, they would play either NC State again or they'd play Arizona. And, you know, just like your staff is being taxed, so is theirs.
Sure.
And if your offense is lighting it up, you know, you might have a shot to come out of the loser's bracket if you're still hitting like they've been hitting.
Man, I love the golden chrome batting helmets for Notre Dame. Those look sharp.
I'm watching the game right now. I'm looking at it. It's very similar to their football helmets.
Yeah. I mean, but I hadn't seen it necessarily on a baseball, on their baseball team. And I know what their football helmets look like, but yeah, that's pretty sharp. It's a chrome look, though, with gold for the Fighting Irish. By the way, Notre Dame just put a guy on base. Or did they? No. Would-be error by the pitcher, saved by the shortstop, and they got him at first base. It's 1-1 early in that one at Duty Noble Field in Starkville in the top of the second inning.
Let me ask you something about those Notre Dame helmets.
Huh?
The sun glinting off of those things and hitting the pitcher right in the face, would that be an advantage?
I don't think it's –
because they're very shiny.
I know, but I also think that if I was a hitter, I'd be more concerned about that. Like if a pitcher was wearing something shiny opposed to pitching, it's not as – because you're not – so as a hitter, you're looking at the ball, right? So if there's something on the right arm or the throwing arm of a hitter that you know could be or looks similar in color as the baseball, then that would be worrisome. Oh, that was a great play! Mississippi State just saved the double, one in a gap, and their center fielder just laid out for it. All right, we'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. One to one, bottom of the second inning, Mississippi State and Notre Dame tied from Duty Noble Field in an elimination game. The Irish trying to punch their ticket to Omaha. Right now, two teams in the SEC have punched their tickets to Omaha. Mississippi State would be a third when there was as many as potentially five that could have gotten and reached Omaha. So it begs the question, is the SEC overrated or do they cannibalize themselves? And look, I don't think Arkansas was overrated by any stretch. I just think it's one of those great examples in baseball that you don't match up well with teams sometimes, or they got your number, or you didn't play your brand of baseball, and you didn't play your best baseball, and Arkansas is going home. NC State, the Wolfpack, punched their ticket to Omaha. And I was talking about this with Mark during the break. Fans at LSU are upset because they feel like the program has been in decline for a few years. And, you know, for the most part, I would agree with that. But can you imagine if LSU was the number one overall seed and the number one ranked team and didn't make it to Omaha and got beat in a super regional in which they were hosting? Now, LSU's been bouncing the Super Regional as a host before. I get that. But they weren't the number one overall national seed when they were bounced. Can you imagine the conversations right now going on in Fayetteville? I mean, the fan base has got to be. I mean, if that was LSU, oh, my goodness, they would be screaming for the head coach's job. Screaming. Fighting mad. These phone lines would be lit up today with, hey, fire whoever it is that is coaching the LSU Tigers for being the number one overall national seed and the number one ranked team in the country, and really has been so at the top for most of the season. A majority of the season, they've been the top-ranked team in all the land. And you don't even make it to Omaha? Now that is underachieving. That's a great example of underachieving. Because Arkansas, I mean, you remember a couple of years ago, they're one foul ball away from winning the College World Series. They drop a foul ball, or they don't catch it in the next batter after that, the hit parade starts going. I can't remember the exact details of it, but they were one foul ball away from winning in Omaha. Now you're one seed in Arkansas, and you didn't even make the College World Series? Man, I'm not so sure those fans will be that forgiving of Dave Van Horn. If you want to run Dave Van Horn out of town, I'd take him in purple and gold in a New York minute. That guy can coach flat out. But just imagine if that had happened to LSU. Can you imagine the amount of angry phone calls we would have on this show and anywhere else?
Christian, to your point about was the SEC overrated, don't forget that they were guaranteed at least one spot in Omaha because Tennessee and LSU played each other. Mm-hmm. So you're guaranteed at least one spot, and if Mississippi State loses today, you get two. That's not a lot when you know that you know that one team's getting in and only one other team gets in for the conference that's supposed to be dominant in college baseball.
Yeah, I still think it's the best in college baseball, but it's not playing out that way.
The gap is closing.
Or maybe, you know, there is just other good baseball conferences sprinkled in throughout the country, just not as top-heavy. I think you could certainly say that the SEC is the most loaded conference, but there might be teams like Arizona and Stanford that, while their conference as a whole isn't as good as they are, but they're still very, very good, if that makes sense. Like, the sample size is smaller in their conferences compared to the SEC, where it is just a brutal schedule. I mean, during the regular season, it's just like football. They cannibalize each other, and that's why I'm all for any SEC football and baseball teams playing cupcake, quote, games just because of how tough it is in the SEC. I don't blame them at all. And at times, LSU has played really good non-conference games, schedules, Texas Tech a few years ago in the Minute Maid Classic, and they haven't been shy about that, but you know, I don't have any problem with LSU in football or baseball because Alabama does it. Look at Alabama's football schedule in non-conference. It's nothing. It's zero threat. No chance. I don't blame them. I wouldn't play a tough non-conference. LSU's playing UCLA. That's a bit of a risk. Not a huge risk, but that's a respectable non-conference football game. But again, that's the opener, and then you don't play anybody tough after that until you get to SEC play. I don't blame them, though.
Well, Christian, look at it this way. You got Arizona and Stanford. They're both out of the Pac-12, so that's two.
Yep.
You've got Virginia and NC State. They're both out of the ACC. That's two. And and Notre Dame, you know, caucuses with the ACC when it's not football, you could say.
Right.
So that if Notre Dame makes it today, that would be three ACC teams, two Pac-12, two SEC, and then Texas out of the Big 12.
Yeah, pretty balanced. Again, what does that speak to, Mark? What we've talked about in college baseball. What's the key word?
The parity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, across the country, and I think we're seeing it play out. I think you could say that definitively. Whether Notre Dame wins or whether Mississippi State wins tonight, I think you would still make the argument. You could still make the argument for parity in college baseball. We're seeing it play out, and I know that LSU's not in the College World Series this year, but I'm fascinated by it. You know, there's a lot of times, Mark, I'll get to the point to where I won't stay as in tune to the College World Series every game, and I'll just watch the final. But this year, I have a lot of intrigue, because the storylines are really big if you think about it. Virginia's making their first trip to Omaha since 2015. Stanford's always respectable. They're always a respectable baseball program. And then you got Vanderbilt, the defending national champions, and Tennessee, who's that up-and-coming team but hasn't been in this moment in such a long time. I mean, the last time Tennessee was in this moment, it was in the 80s. I mean, Funky Cole Medina was a big hit. So, you know, a lot of these kids weren't even born yet that are playing on this team.
And you take
there's a lot of drama, a lot of intrigues surrounding all these teams, and then you throw in the Wolfpack of NC State. They're forever going to be – I mean, how often are they going to be talking about their upset in Arkansas? It's going to come up in every game they play, at least 10 times that they play.
Well, and look, they had a big postseason because they went to Ruston and knocked out Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
They went to Fayetteville and knocked off Arkansas. And I know that was a drastically bigger upset than beating Louisiana Tech, but the fact is they went to two different home teams and knocked them out in their own park before they headed to Omaha. That's bold.
Whenever you can go on the road – and face elimination in this format and knock out the host, man, that's a big deal. Average teams don't do that. Really good teams can. Let's squeeze in Tim in Jefferson on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Tim, you're on WWL.
Christian, I just had a call and respond to your comment about the fan base of Arkansas wanting to fire Dave Van Horn. We're not crazy like the fans here are.
Okay, let me back up for a second. You called a couple weeks ago, Tim, and we talked about the respect I have for Dave Van Horn, and I'm saying more or less that had that happened at LSU, they would be. And I'm sure that there's a small fraction of the fan base at Arkansas that would say something like that, and I would think it would be unjustified and unwarranted. I think Dave Van Horn, I've told you this, I think Dave Van Horn is an outstanding college baseball coach, and it would be silly to let go of Dave Van Horn.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, you know, you might as well just say, all right, well, LSU, we're gonna give you yet another great coach, because I guarantee you, if they fired Dave Van Horn, LSU would try to scoop him up in a New York minute.
Well, that's not going to happen. So, I mean, I'm very, disappointed about the game yesterday. But, you know, that's baseball.
You're right. That is baseball. And that's hard. Tim, that's hard for people to understand. And I don't think enough fans watch enough college baseball or watch enough baseball in general to understand how just weird it is. Does that make sense? And just how unpredictable it is at almost every level.
Well, if you think about a batting average that's 350, that's great, and that's getting on base a third of the time. So.
Yeah, you're successful 3 out of 10 times in baseball.
Right.
You know, that's considered success. I tell my kids that all the time. I'm like, man, baseball's the only game you're going to fail more often than you succeed and still be considered really good.
Correct.
Think about
that.
Okay.
I just had to call and then respond to that, because we're not firing the best coach we've probably had.
Look, I'm not saying that y'all should. I said that there's probably a fraction of the fan base that silly part of the fan base that would want to after being the number one seed. I know that if that were LSU, they would be screaming about it on this show. If that were LSU that went number one in the country, number one national seed, and they lost to NC State or a team that wasn't in the top eight, they would be highly upset. They would want to fire whoever it is. I wouldn't care. I mean, I think they would. If it was Skip Bertman, they would want to fire him.
That's crazy.
Well, it just goes to show you how fanatical LSU fans are about their baseball team. Tim, thanks for the phone call. All right, we'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk. Mississippi State just took the lead over Notre Dame 2-1. In the bottom of the second inning with one out. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. Check out our poll online at WWL.com. What do you fear most when flying? And the choices are foreign terrorists, American anti-maskers, or ticket prices. For me, it's ticket prices. That's the thing that I fear the most. I've flown countless times in my life. I mean, countless times, through times traveling with my family, growing up as a kid, or when I got in the Marine Corps. I've been on almost every kind of bird there is to be on. By the way, how did I go this long without wishing the Army happy birthday? Shame on me. Happy birthday to all my soldiers, in particular my favorite soldier, my father. Happy birthday to the United States Army, 246 years old. And those soldiers are very well loved and in a special place for me. But as far as flying, in the military, you're on almost every bird there is. Helicopters, airplanes, big old airplanes, smaller ones, not so much unless you're in the Air Force or Navy. And you're on boats, but flown countless times covering the Saints, being the Saints beat reporter, here on WWL for, 9 years, I think it was? Can't tell you how many times. And I wasn't paying for flights. So, at that point, I wasn't worried about ticket prices.
Was your least favorite flight the little plane that took you to Greenbrier?
No, I'll tell you my least favorite flight. I think I told this story not too long ago. Seattle 2013, Saints in Seattle 2013, right? They had to travel all the way out there to Seattle, and that's a long flight. I mean, that's a 4 hour, 45, five and a half hour flight, somewhere in there. And I know I told this story here recently. So, you know, we're flying over the Rockies, and we're over not the Rockies, Colorado. Anyway, so the mountain wake turbulence was a real thing. I didn't know that. So it started tossing the plane around a little bit, and you already had been on the air in the air for about 2.5-3 hours by that point. So that in and of itself is stressing you out. And then you get this mountain wake turbulence going, and then the captain comes on the loudspeaker, the overhead speaker, and while he's urging us to try and stay calm, he sounds a little panicked himself about mountain wake turbulence. And it wasn't a very comfortable feeling. There was some white knuckle moments on those chairs, on those seats in the airplane. And I think Fletcher Mackel was on the plane from WDSU. And when he came on the loudspeaker, everybody kind of looked at each other like, okay, I get that he wants us to stay calm, but he doesn't sound very calm himself. So it was another 2.5 hours before we landed. But I've been on longer flights overseas. So 5.5 hours, though, mountain wake turbulence, not fun. I immediately Googled mountain wake turbulence when I got off the plane because I had no idea that it existed. But it can bring down a plane for inexperienced pilots. All right, Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.